All right. This is the broadcast for God's Grace for You. It should be aired on Friday, the date on the label. Well, thanks so much. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church. All this week, we've been having a grand time talking about when and how speaking in a, quote, unknown tongue, unquote, violates Scripture. We have not gotten around to the issue whether these things are biblical or not. We started with the assumption that all that's done and called unknown tongues is biblical, and then we proceeded to demonstrate for you when they would violate Scripture. And I think we've demonstrated pretty well here that majority of these instances where this is done, used, performed, presented, whatever, it's in blatant violation of the Word of God. Now, again, that's not my opinion. We've looked at the chapters and the verses, and we, if you disagree, as we've been saying all week, we would like to hear from you to see your chapters and verses. And that's the issue. You know, when Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14:34, he said, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." Now, I can remember years ago someone taking issue with that, and I said, well, listen, it appears clearly from the text that Paul says, as it was under the law, as the, you know, the protocol for the woman's conduct in the Old Testament synagogue was going to be pretty much the same in the New Testament assembly, that the woman would be quiet. She would not pray publicly or speak publicly. She would be quiet. She would, certainly wouldn't teach. Paul says, "I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man." The pastor, the overseer, must be a married man. So clearly, Paul has made that case here. But Paul says this in verse 36, and it's a beautiful example of Pauline sarcasm. Paul says this, "What? Came the word of God out from you?" In other words, are you the source of truth? Are you the source of the word of God? And then he says, "Or came it unto you only?" In other words, what? You got the revelation and no one else got it? You've got some inside source of truth that no one else has privilege to? Now again, we said the other day, when you hear someone coming from that position as if, you know, the word of God has come from them, or as if the Word of God was given to them only, some revelation was given to them only, and no one else, then what comes to mind? And we said clearly then the word cult should come to mind. Because every cult begins that way. Every cult has that characteristic, has some leader that has the inside track that no one else has. God showed them something he didn't show anyone else. God spoke to him and didn't speak to anyone else. Paul says what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, how's that for Paul making his point? What did Paul say? He said, hey, if more than three guys at any given service speak in an unknown tongue, it's a violation of Scripture. He says, if a woman speaks in an unknown tongue in a service, it's a violation of Scripture. If the speaker himself interprets, it's a violation of Scripture. If there's no interpreter, it's a violation of Scripture. It causes confusion in any form, any capacity. It's a violation of Scripture. If self-control of the individual is lost, it's a violation of Scripture. If it results in new revelation, it's a violation of Scripture. When everyone is exhorted to seek the gift, it's a violation of Scripture. And when it does not edify the church, it's a violation of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about the local congregation gathered together. Paul says this in verse 19. He says, "Yet in the church had I rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others." Also, he says, "Then 10,000 words, in an unknown tongue. How's that for hyperbole? What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, listen, if you're not saying something that people can understand at any time in the service, you're being selfish. You're not edifying anybody but yourself. You're selfish. And that kind of conduct shouldn't be present in the gathering of believers. I mean, he couldn't be much stronger here, could he? I'd rather speak 5 words in a known tongue than 10,000 in an unknown. What would you see a strong emphasis there? Paul says, I'd rather say 5 words. If the congregation gathered speaks English, I'd rather speak 5 words in English than 10,000 words in some language nobody can understand. You say, well, what about if they interpret? Hey, what did we read already? What did we go over already? Can't be more than 3 people. You say, well, what about if the person stands up and rolls off 10,000 words? What do you think that was the purpose of the gift? Do you think that's what Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 14? Do you really believe that? But overwhelmingly, we know what? The argument is, well, no, that's a heavenly prayer language, really. And again, the challenge to you, where in the Scripture does it say that? Where does the Scripture? Listen, when the apostles asked the Lord Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, if there was ever a time for the Lord to say, when you pray, enter into your closet and use your heavenly prayer language. If ever, and you know, everyone's supposed to have this, according to some. If ever there was a case, boy, that was it. But what did the Lord say? He says, when you pray, say. And then he gives the prototype of all prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes on. Now, what was he saying? Was he saying, repeat after me? No, he was giving you the framework. He was giving you the prototype. He was giving you an example. And when some said, well, Lord, give us a sign, he says, it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:22, he says, the Jews require a sign. 14:22, wherefore tongues are for what? They're for a sign. They're not for a heavenly prayer language. They're for a sign. For who? Well, the Jew requires a sign. For the Jew. You say, well, no, that's not what my pastor teaches. Well, what does the Scripture say? And as we pointed out yesterday, in your local fellowship, are these tongues ever used in a way that violates Scripture? We're not even going to, again, discuss right now the issue of whether they're biblical or unbiblical, but do they violate Scripture? Let me ask you this. And you answer this, and perhaps you're a woman, and you'll won't have to answer it. You'll just be convicted. In your fellowship, in your gathering, in your quote-unquote church service, does a woman ever, ever speak out in tongues, in some unknown language? Does that ever occur? You say, well, yeah. Well, it's in violation of Scripture then. Why is it allowed? Now, maybe it happened one time, and she'd have to be talked to and explained, listen, you, Paul said you can't do that. The Scripture says that. And Paul even says, if you think yourself to be spiritual or a prophet, you'll acknowledge that what he's saying is the commands of God. Now, does that happen in your gathering? Be honest. I mean, be honest. Now, right now, I know, boy, there's some ladies that are mad at me. But why? I didn't write these passages. Why are you mad at me? I didn't write verse 34. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. I didn't write that. I didn't say, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. I didn't say that. I didn't say the bishop, overseer, pastor must be a married man. I didn't say that. So why are you mad at me? No reason to be mad at me. I didn't say it. You're a woman, you want to be a pastor? Have at it. Knock yourself out. You're not accountable to me. If you're a woman and you want to stand up in church and say something in some unknown tongue, go for it. I mean, you're not accountable to me, but don't go around telling anybody you're biblical. And God forbid you should stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day at the judgment seat of Christ. What are you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him Paul was a chauvinist? You're going to tell him Paul had no business writing what he wrote? So then 1 Corinthians is not inspired. It's not God-breathed. Paul took liberties that God didn't afford him. God told him one thing. Paul corrupted it. He changed it. When Paul says, if you think yourself to be a prophet or spiritual, you'll acknowledge that what he's saying is the commandments of the Lord. You think he's lying? What do you do at that point? What do you do? You have to do something. You just can't ignore that. You can't ignore that. We've given you 9 examples where they violate Scripture. He'll probably give you 9 more without even thinking twice about it. What do you do? How do you respond? You got to do something. Are you going to sit there and ignore it? You're going to sit there and say, well, it's okay to be unbiblical? Now, if you're a pastor, wow, what do you do? You say, well, I was taught that by my denomination. So, I was taught a lot of things by a lot of denominations. What does that prove? Denominations aren't authoritative, are they? Local churches aren't authoritative in and of themselves, are they? Big denominations aren't authoritative, are they? What is authoritative? The Word of God. That's what's authoritative. I mean, how many religious groups and movements do you and I both know? And we could say, well, I can think of this group or that group. I gave you an example at the beginning of the week. In one of my many discussions and dialogues with Mormon elders, one very recently, what was their proof text for what they believe? And by the way, Mormons speak in an unknown tongue. So do Eskimos. Eskimos speak in an unknown tongue. Tibetan monks speak in an unknown tongue. If that's important to you, if you think it's relevant. But the Mormon elders responded how? They said, well, when I said, well, what does the Bible say? Moreover, I said, what does the Book of Mormon say? Because you can't prove any Mormon doctrine from the Book of Mormon, believe it or not. And they said, well, we prayed. I said, what do you mean you prayed? When you were looking to see if something was of God or not or genuine, you did not go to the Word of God. And in your case, you didn't even go to the Book of Mormon. You prayed. And what happened? Well, we prayed and asked God to show us that it was true. And we received a burning in our bosom. Wow. Man, how about that, huh? You and I probably receive burnings in our bosoms quite frequently. It has nothing to do with God, right? Maybe it's what our diet consists of. Listen, this is serious, and you need to get serious, and you need to open the Word of God and see if these things are so. If you like the offer this week, give us a call, Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900, or go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com, or come by and see us. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue, Tarrytown, Louisiana, zip code 70056. Call us a friend and join us Monday at this same time.